SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, Sounding the Alarm on February 16, 2012. I'm going to share themes for the week, some of the key things that the Lord has prompted me this week and what I've meditated on in the scriptures. You know, a lot of things can be said right now. A lot of things can be taught from the scripture. But if you as an individual do not seek the Lord with all your heart, it really doesn't matter. This is the time where the Lord had told me to tell the people this back in 2004, 2005. The Lord said, "Seek my face. Hear my voice. Hide in the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last days of fulfillment of the scriptures. And these are days unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened. What's coming is so precarious, so dire, that this is a time when you want to know the Lord. You want to have absolute confidence in Jesus Christ, that you know that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life, that you believe the record that God the Father has given of his dear Son, that eternal life is in Jesus. Jesus came to take away our sins. He bore our sins in his own self, his own body, on the tree, and he was buried for 3 days, according to the scriptures, and was raised from the dead. After those 3 days, according to Scripture, by the power of God, he was seen by over 500 people, and the apostles and the disciples of the Lord gave testimony of all the things that they saw and heard, and it's been written in the Scripture. But you can know the Lord. The Lord is a real living person. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. He is the King. So people have so much interest in politics and governmental issues. And God tells us to pray, to supplicate, and have intercession for the rulers, for the kings, for those that rule and govern our world, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life. That's God's will. But we need to understand what the scriptures say about the last days. In the last days, the dragon, the serpent, the devil himself, empowers evil men to do evil deeds, as they were doing in ancient Babylon, where they sought to rise a kingdom into the heavens in rebellion against the Lord God. And God is going to allow this to take place. He actually puts it in their heart of the kings to band together as a one world government. It's in form now. The infrastructure is being put in place now, even in the United States, particularly where the governing laws are illegal, unlawful, and the people do not perceive it by and large. But you need to know the Lord. This is time to seek the Lord. Seek his face. It's not about going to church. It's about being the church. God has called a people out. It's a holy people. The church of Jesus Christ is not made by hands. It's a dwelling place by the Spirit of God that God dwells in. And that Jesus Christ is the head. He is the Lord. He is the King. And we need to do that right now. And come out of everything that's false, everything that's iniquitous and hypocritical, and truly know our Lord and start testifying of these things that Jesus Christ is doing today. Praise God. I was thinking about how I relate to people that I work. I work for a big company, and I do a manual labor job, and I notice how there's really almost nobody that I work with that is open to the Lord. I mean, I go there and I work. I'm focused. That's what I'm being paid for. And I work. And I'm an example of godliness in Jesus Christ by what God has done in my life. That speaks. We're epistles read of men. I'm transparent. I'm open. I don't participate in the things that typical unregenerated men do. But I notice that my mouth is muzzled for the most part. I've prodded in different times when my coworkers were standing aside or we had a moment where we could share. And they have no interest in the things that are going on in our world. They have no interest or concern that we're about to have a world war or that there's a global economic crisis going on, how it could literally affect them, how this is a time to seek the Lord, to know the Lord. This is a time like no other, but do they know it? No, they don't perceive it. So in Matthew 7, verse 6, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And Paul said the same thing about the dogs. He said, beware of dogs. And what's a dog? A dog is an animal, is a beast. It's not made in the image and likeness of God. And that's what dogs are like. What Jesus is referring to, Apostle Paul, by through the Holy Spirit, these are unregenerated, beastly people that are base, carnal, in the flesh, in sin, serving diverse lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and concerning good works, they're reprobate. These are people that have no ears to hear. They have no eyes to see, and they have no heart that's even interested. So we need to be led by the Lord, directed by the unction of the Holy Spirit, when to speak, what to speak, how to speak, and that's what we want to do. We don't want to go around just talking out of our head religious things. We want to be prompted by the Lord, empowered by the Lord, speaking words that are fitly framed in silver, apples of gold and frames of silver, a word in season for these people. And God is able, through the word, to reach people. And God has ordained that he's made known through preaching, proclaiming the gospel. Paul called it the glorious gospel, 1 Timothy. Paul said that he was entrusted by God with that word. So, ladies and gentlemen, when God gives you something, that's precious. And what God has taught you, it's holy. So what the Lord's telling you is don't give what is holy and precious like a pearl to a dog or to a swine that's totally unclean, that's going to just trample it underfoot and completely disregard it, and then turn and tear you into shreds. You don't want to do that. You want to speak by the direction of the Lord. You want to speak exactly what that person needs to see, to hear. There's times when God has you plant a seed, and God will have it grow, and there's times when God will have you bring a harvest. But it's God that causes the increase, and it's God that reaches the souls of men, and we need to be directed by his eye. This is one of the key scriptures I was thinking about. The dogs. What's a dog like? Dog will have sexual relations with any dog. Just like people today, they go from person to person to person. Don't think anything about it. It's vile. They were created in the image and likeness of God, but they live as animals, like a dog. A dog will eat its own vomit. The dog will step in its own refuse. Dog doesn't have any manners. So we certainly don't want to behave as a dog. We certainly want to be wise and be careful of the dogs. And don't be giving that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls for swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Prophet Isaiah talked about religious people, spiritual leaders that were in apostasy, in sin. And I'm going to read this from Isaiah 56, verse 9 and following. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Sound familiar? God hasn't called us to be churchgoers. God hasn't called us to be pew sitters. He's called us to be sons and daughters of God, led by the Holy Spirit, following the shepherd, following the Lord, following his voice, laying down our life, picking up our cross and denying ourselves and following him. That's what the Lord's called us to, and that's what the true church is. It's an ecclesia. It's a spiritual habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. But the false ministries, they're being exposed right now. And as I've shared a word from the Lord recently, there's an indictment of the Lord upon the church world, the church system. And God is calling wicked leaders that have forsaken the calling, that have preached the word of God deceitfully and from hidden agendas and manipulation. God's going to deal with them. They're dumb dogs. They can't even bark. It's all about themselves, everything, marketing themselves, their name, not exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. In recent days, I came across a man that 6 years ago, when I first left California at the direction of the Lord, and I had the word of the Lord, I fled my homeland, my family, my business plans. The Lord told me to leave, go to the mountains. I came to Montana, and I went and spoke to a church, so-called. And I, in private, I had met with the leaders, and I gave them a transcript and an audio recording of my first message called The Alarm. It's many faceted aspects of what the Lord was revealing that was coming, multiple cataclysmic disasters coming suddenly at the same time, how the government that was in rebellion was going to use the false church to control the people, how the government would use the false church in cataclysmic times to control the masses, how we were going to see great collapse of the economy. We're going to lose our liberties, economic demise, many different things the Lord was showing me, and it's coming to pass. A false church is coming forth and deceiving the people. Well, I shared this word with this leader in private. I told him how the Lord had showed me about a great earthquake that would strike California and the destruction that I saw. I saw the fog rolling upon the land in vision as fog upon the homes when the people are sleeping, unaware what was coming. Well, that's why I sound the alarm, to wake people up, to call them to the Lord, to run for safety to the Lord. That's the only place you're going to be safe. But when I told this man this, he was so bored with what I was talking about. He acted like I was talking about dog food. He had no delight in the word of the Lord. It was so grieving. And in fact, I believe I was casting my pearls before the swine. I was giving what was holy, what God had given me, to a dog. A dumb dog that couldn't bark, wasn't interested, just can never have enough, is all about himself, doesn't understand, just like Isaiah says in Isaiah 56:11. Well, I've shared that with this man, and I wrote him a letter, and I ran into him twice at the gym. I ran into him twice at the gas station, and I've run into him at the grocery store 3 different times. Well, now this man is no longer even in that position. And the major leader, the leader, so-called pastor of that church, so-called, was asked to leave. When we read the book of Revelation, the 7 churches of Asia, we see Jesus speaking, bringing correction. An admonition. As many as he loves, he chastens and rebukes. One of the churches, he says, I stand knocking at the door. And if any man hear my voice and opens the door to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. This is where we're at. It's an individual thing. People think, well, what church do you go to? And I go to church, and they trust in these things when they're not seeking the Lord. What's your relationship like with the Lord? That's what's important. I want to take you to 1 Timothy. I read this morning. I was so blessed by this word. What Paul was writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, he talked about the glorious gospel. In verse 2, he said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 3, he says, I taught you, I charge you to teach no other doctrine. You he was telling them, wait, make sure that you're not going astray. You're not going to the left or to the right. You're not adding or subtracting. You're not getting off the focus of this glorious gospel. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. You see, people want to talk about this theory, this opinion, that opinion. That's what a heretic is. It's an opinion. We need to do is stay in the truth, abide in the truth, like Apostle John said, my little children, abide in the truth. That's what I'm writing unto you, because you abide in the truth. The truth is written, and Jesus is the truth. He's a person. But don't be getting off on tangents of these fables and endless genealogies, trusting in the flesh of being Jewish. It just ministers questions. It doesn't build up anybody in their faith. Verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Isn't that what God's after? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience. When we have a good conscience, it means we're in harmony with the truth. We're in harmony with what we're professing. We're not hypocrites, religious actors. What Jesus hates. No, we have a good conscience and sincerity. And faith, unfeigned, unpretentious, the real deal. Verse 6, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. Blah, 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 blah. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Isn't that interesting? 2,000 years ago, Paul was saying that people were going to try to be like rabbis, religious Hebrew experts of the law. And he goes, they don't even know what they're talking about. Not only is it established more than once, so many times, that God has replaced the law. And when the Lord God changed the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood of Levi, and brought forth the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is Jesus Christ, of the power of an endless life. By necessity, you must change the law also. And the law, which is written in tables of stone, was broken. But it was a schoolmaster for us until two things came, faith and the Son of Man, the seed. Now we're under a new lawgiver. So make sure you're not going back to another gospel, which is not another gospel. Make sure you're not trying to be do this, the Sabbath, or be circumcised, or do this work or that work of the flesh. Paul said that I may be found in him, Jesus Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by faith. Don't get tangled up in fables and endless genealogies. Don't get caught up in the law. But the goal of the law is charity out of a pure heart, a good conscience with faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law. They don't understand what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, but the law is not made for a righteous man. Well, what does that tell you? But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for menslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul admits he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, injurious, hurting the original first church, persecuting those that believed in Jesus. He says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I read that text and I thought of John 15. Jesus is the true vine. We're branches. And the Father, as the husbandman, desires that we bear fruit. Herein is he glorified. And as we abide in the true vine, the life of Jesus Christ, look at all these wonderful things that flow through us. He becomes our life. He becomes our righteousness. He becomes our wisdom. He becomes our sanctification. He becomes our redemption. He becomes our grace and faith and love that's in him. One of the things I was thinking about this week was faith. The true faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a work of religious activity. It's not a mind. It's not an aspect of the mind. It's not something we can manufacture. It comes from God. God gives every man a measure of faith. When we have a wicked, evil heart of unbelief, it short circuits faith. And we are in a state of unbelief. But God has ordained the proclaiming of the Word of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that faith brings about the power of God. The power of God to bring salvation, to bring deliverance, to bring liberation from corruption, from sin. And you can then walk in liberty of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. This is real. This is the good news. Praise you, Lord. Another thing I was thinking about this week was in that hour of Jesus' temptation. This is from Mark chapter 14, 32 and following. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. He takes with him Peter and James and John, began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he comes and finds them sleeping and says unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither did they know what to answer him. And he comes the third time and said unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. It's enough. The hour's come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. You know what I was thinking about in this hour, right now? You know, Jesus has already suffered at the hands of sinners, religious people, worldly people. Though he bore all of our sin, they murdered him, they executed him, they planned to destroy Jesus, and he fulfilled that. He went through that very hard thing, and here he was just asking his disciples, those that really knew him, that were very close to him, to pray for him and to be watching and praying. And they were overcome by sleepiness. And I'm thinking now at the second coming of Jesus Christ, how the same thing is happening. Now, there's a big difference between what happened with the early disciples in this portion of scripture. We now have Jesus going through the cross and being raised again from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection. We now have that power in our life as disciples, where those disciples did not. We now have the scripture. We now have the wonderful revelation of what the Lord has done in those days. But now in the second coming, as it's approaching, the Lord has already told us to be watching and praying. And how many in the church world are asleep? When Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are not of the night, we are of the day. We are not of darkness, we are of the light, and we are not to be asleep. And we know that the coming of the Lord comes like a thief in the night, but he said it's not to come like a thief for you. I dare say that many, many, many professing Christian people in the world today that believe they ate and drank in the presence of the Lord, they've sat and heard the teaching of the Lord, they believe they did many mighty works in his name and prophesied and cast out demons in his name, but they don't know him. And he doesn't know them. And they're asleep. And they're like those shepherds that Isaiah prophesied. They're greedy dogs. It's all about their flesh. It's all about their God is their belly. And they mind earthly things. And their glory and their shame. And their end is destruction. This is what Paul said in Titus. And the time when the Lord says, when he's dealt with you, and dealt with you, and dealt with you, and you've refused to hear, you would not answer the Lord, and the Lord just finally says, sleep on. These are heavy times, ladies and gentlemen. I encourage you today to seek the face of God, to hear his voice. Don't follow man. Don't be following the trends. Follow Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The gospel has not changed. The method of God has not changed. And people need to be updated. They need to update what their way they think and perceive that spirituality is and make sure it's true in the Lord, that it's true to the Lord. You know, in a great house, there's vessels of honor and dishonor. Wood, hay, and stubble. And if a man purge himself of these, he'll be a vessel fit for the master's use. We need to be putting away what's defiled and worldly, iniquitous, or fleshly, carnal. We need to have faith in the Lord. Faith believes God. Take the Lord at his word. This is what pleases the Lord. It is God that will save you. It's not you that saves yourself. It's not you. It's not a performance that you do. And that's the good news. God is just calling you to believe him, trust him, rest in him. Cease from your own works like God did from his. Enter the rest. Enter into Jesus Christ. And let the power of the Holy Spirit use you on a day-to-day basis like manna. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Be led by God. As many as are led by God, they are the sons of God. And speak his word. Speak the gospel. Tell people the truth. We're in an age that's very wicked, very evil, like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're in a nation, some of us live in the United States of America, that's had the gospel, that's had seen many mighty things, many mighty blessings of the Lord, great liberty, great wealth. And they squandered it like Sodom. Selfish, self-centered, without God, and deny him by their works. Don't be that way. Have good conscience in the Lord. Have charity. Have faith, unfeigned, for the glory of Jesus Christ. God bless you.